Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
I'm your host, Sabine M., and today we are covering some of the highlights from our first season. This best of episode looks at data readiness and the constraints of the real estate market.
Yeah, I think in workplace itself, who shows up? So do people like it? Do they show up? When they show up, where do they go? What spaces do they use? How long do they stay in a space? So dwell time, the activities they're doing. So like activity recognition. And this idea of like how adventurous are they in the space? Or are they staying within their team and building those connections within the team? Or are they bridging across teams? So I think people are really interested in when people come, how are they working with our teams? How are they building relationships and trying to quantify that? And then I think marrying that, you know, just the idea of like supply and demand, are people showing up? Do they like what we have? Do we have too much of it? Is the sentiment. So we want to watch, we want to measure what people are doing, but we also still want to hear what people are saying. And so the sentiment of the user, their satisfaction, their priorities, and their preferences. So backing that up with qualitative feedback and discovery of, yes, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't like it. Right. I have to go to the restroom, but could it be better?
And get all those details out there. This was also very much appreciated by the business from a stakeholder management perspective. We quite often could help them. And this is how your type of business looks like over the globe. We could present them better data than they actually had themselves. So now we first had it in the background and we worked independent on it as a real estate organization. Now it's open, some restrictions, of course, but to the business, and the business can use it as well. So it's a really powerful tool, which also very much helped to pitch real estate as a value and trusted business partner because our data was correct. Mind you, it took us 1.5 years and a lot of effort to clean the data before we went out with the data to our stakeholders, because you have only one first time opportunity to make a first impression, and we really wanted to do that with correct data. So yes, it took us quite some time to validate and to clean that data, but now it has become a very powerful asset of the real estate community in relation to our stakeholders, encounters, and management.
Like we said, the certainty of your starting point, if I could make that more certain with data, so that when you're, most of us, real estate is in the business of the business. So they see it as an expense. So you've always got a stronger burden of proof. And if you had that clear data you could trust, then that would be the match. Can you imagine if you could take the energy that you use now to try to prove to everyone that you know what you're doing? Because everyone thinks everyone can do real estate, you know, in businesses. That's what you get. So the critique is so high, and if the granularity of the data isn't available, it just creates more work. I like to put more work into creativity.
I think the number one challenge that we have at this point is we have great tools in our personal life. So the apps and the services that the digital services that we use on a day-to-day in our personal life are really good. So people expect the same level of experience in the workplace. So they expect exactly the same level. But for us, the challenge is to make sure that the tools that we offer our employees are safe and we have agreements in place and we have all of the data protected and all of that. So I would say that the number one challenge when I think about it is really to keep up with the pace of technology, because people tend to find ways to do what they have to do, which is fair, right? We find technology that helps us to do our jobs, but at the same time, we need to make sure we're protecting our corporate data.
I think focus on occupancy is going to be important. And that's going to be from two ways of looking at it. One is going to be the occupancy in terms of how do we utilize space from a sustainability agenda. But it's also going to be obviously in terms of, you know, things like booking desks, booking meeting rooms, parking places, and so on. and generally getting an understanding for how is our building being utilized and how can we improve that. I think things like how do we improve or bring down friction at the workplace through technology is going to be important. You know, these are effectively productivity apps or productivity solutions that tie directly into the physical presence of the building. And lastly, things that speak into, you know, the sustainability agenda and the health agenda in general, you know, indoor climate, healthy workplaces, better acoustics, community, all these things are going to play a massive role in this. But I also think it's important to remember that, you know, technology alone cannot do this. I mean, there are so many simple things that can help solve this problem. More green. Investing in greener workspaces alone, you know, that helps with the sustainability aspect. It improves health. It doesn't necessarily need to be a technology-driven solution. It just needs to be a different way of looking at your workplace.
You know, if I want to do other types of analysis, other types of utilization, other types of space management, what kind of tools will I need? Yeah. Take disruptive technology when it comes to other businesses. They've come a long way. Take the car industry. Yeah. What has happened after Tesla came in and said, look, we're going to rock this business? There's a lot of things happening, and the rest of the industry needs to come along after that. And that will also be, obviously, you know, when it comes to the real estate industry, because now there's a lot of cowboy builders out there, and there's a lot of landlords having a lot of square meters, and the only thing they want is to generate return on investment. And then we come along and we say, look, we're a big global company, we've got a lot of money, we're producing oil and gas, and we need a place in this city. Fine, we'll give it to you, but it's going to cost. So what happens in, you know, down the road in a couple of years when the landlords and the builders and the end user, which is us, is actually sitting around the table when this journey starts, saying that, you know what, we need a strategic asset that can add value to what we do. How will the building industry and how will the landlords facilitate that instead of me going into, you know, as a small mouse in a big market saying, I need space? And that dynamics is also, it's back to ancient times. We've always had landlords, yeah? And we've always had people coming to lease the property. And that corporation hasn't changed either. So that is also interesting when I'm talking about tools, when I'm talking about how we as a company should look upon the strategic asset and how we utilize the strategic asset. Will that affect the real estate market?
So what we see right now is that the demand, that there is a high demand for flexible office space, but also the way we are renting right now, like went away from the traditional lease into the way of a partnership agreement or a hybrid lease. And I think that makes it a little bit more tricky, not really difficult, but the last couple of years, we see that more and more of the landlords are becoming open to that and listening also to that, the possibility of renting via a partnership agreement. We see this since years in the hospitality sector. It's quite normal to rent space via partnership or a management agreement. And that's our criteria, what we have right now.
And agility is a big topic, and we need to be aware, and this is also what our board clearly recognizes and pushes for. Decentralization comes with a lot of benefits derived from synergies. Yeah? But we also have to confess it also brings quite a significant amount of bureaucracy. So approval forms and are just like the tip of the iceberg, yeah? And it's giving guidance and giving structure, and there's a lot of controlling and reporting. And yep, times have changed, and the decision is now really we have to be close into the markets, close to the customers, and swiftly react to what the business's needs are. And coming from that perspective, the decision was most likely also, okay, we may have to give up some of the synergy savings in order to regain agility. And as long you earn more through agility, then you lose on the cost side. So it's a discussion of top line and bottom line.
There are multiple ways of looking at it. But if I look at it from the commercial real estate side of things, it is about understanding that the responsibilities as an owner operator goes far beyond the simplicity of square meters. This is far, and also cubic feet or cubic meters for that matter. This is about looking at space as an opportunity to provide value. And obviously, if you can do that, you have an opportunity to commoditize that. So effectively, I see space as a service as an opportunity to look at your asset and transform it into a platform for value add. And if you can create value add from a platform, you can commoditize it and generate new income and new opportunities in general.
Thanks for listening. We will soon be back for more. In the meantime, go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. Or stay tuned for the next episodes of The Workplace Leader.